Well, hello, everybody. In advance, happy Thanksgiving to all. I know there's a lot of challenges coming up in all of our lives. But like anything else, together we get through it. There's a lot to be thankful for also. We're going to commence our meeting now. Give maybe another 20, 30 seconds before we get in. Danny, good to see you. Welcome.
Thank you. I was on as a guest. It wasn't letting me come in.
You are always our guest, but you're also cut above also. Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Welcome to all. This meeting is called by CEC 30 and will be moderated by myself, our co-president, Deborah Alexander, and our CEC 30 administrative assistant, Gail Cohen. We have Spanish interpreters here working on a separate line. Thank you to them for being here with us and providing this important service to our Spanish-speaking families. I would ask all participants to please speak slowly to allow the interpreters to keep up. The interpreters will now announce instructions in Spanish for attendees who may wish to dial into the Spanish line at this time. Spanish interpreters?
Yes. I will speak in Spanish. Muchas gracias. Mi nombre es Ulises y seré uno de los intérpretes esta noche. Para escuchar la reunión en español, por favor, marque el 347-966-4114 e introduzca el número de conferencia 513-835-619 seguido del signo de número. De nuevo, para escuchar la reunión en español, por favor marque el 347-966-4114 e ingrese el número de conferencia 513-966-619 seguido del signo de número. Si quiere escuchar el audio en español, pero quiere permanecer en este espacio virtual para ver la reunión usando su computadora, puede silenciar su computadora y al mismo tiempo llamar a la línea en español. Una vez más, para escuchar la reunión en español, puede marcar el 347-966-4114 y entrar el número de conferencia 513-835-619 seguido del signo de número. Gracias.
Muchas gracias. Thank you very much for all your help, like, as always. Everyone, this is a public meeting and is being recorded. Please mute your microphone whenever you are not speaking. There will be one public comment session which will follow the superintendent's report. You may speak on any education-related topic. Comments will be limited to 2 minutes. You will be given a 15-second warning before your microphone will be muted. We apologize for the abruptness, but would like to hear from as many speakers as possible. First, we will take comments from participants who have joined via computer in the Zoom room. Please press the hand icon to raise your hand. This can be found by clicking on participants at the bottom of your screen. We will call on those speakers in the order in which they raise their hands and manually unmute their microphones. When your name is called, please give us your name and what school your child or children attend. While this is a public meeting and anyone may speak, we are first and foremost interested in the thoughts of the parents and students of District 30. Please do not raise your hand now. No comments will be taken until after the superintendent's report. Second, we will take comments for participants who have called in by phone. Gail will call out the last 4 digits of your phone number and will manually unmute your line to allow you to say yes or no if you would like to say something. If you do want to speak, please state your name and where your child or children are attending school. Third, we will take comments from participants who have called in for interpretation. I will now call the meeting to order. It is 6:35 p.m. Shannon, will you please do the roll call?
Sure. Good evening, everyone. Okay, Ms. Deborah Alexander?
She will be here shortly. She's excused.
Mr. Roberto Cruz?
Present.
Thank you. Mr. Jonathan Greenberg? Ms. Katrina Harris?
Present.
Thank you. Good evening. Ms. Fatima?
Present.
Thank you. Shin, present. Ms. Amina Mazia?
Present.
Ms. Danny Moore?
Present.
Good evening. Mr. Chuck Park?
Present.
And Mr. Scott Sharon?
Here, present.
Thank you very much, Shannon.
Shannon, hey, Nula. Nula, Shannon.
Oh, yes, and Ms. Nula, excuse me, Ms. Nula.
I'm here too.
Thank you very much. There's always sometimes a break going from the attendees to the panel.
Good evening. Sorry, guys.
Welcome, Nula, and good evening. Our first order of business, Scott will teach us about cooking. What are you making there, Scott? All right, we're just kidding, I'm kidding. Our first order of meeting, we're going to jump right in with our
superintendent. Grilled chicken, mushrooms, and onions. I'm sorry.
Delicious. Everybody have 20 minutes to lend to us here? We're going to jump right into our order of business. Thank you, Scott. We're going to start with our superintendent. All right, there we go. Thumbs up. Our superintendent's report. Dr. Composto, would you please illuminate us? You have to unmute, Dr. Composto.
So important that you unmute in life, right? So I want to just say that I'm happy to be here with all you wonderful, great people. Lots of good things are happening. Lots of challenges are before us, but we're meeting them and working with them. And with that being said, I would be remiss if I didn't stop always to thank all of the staff. You know, I look at our kitchen people, our custodial staff, our teachers, our principals, our parent coordinators. I'm afraid I'm going to leave somebody out, because every single school aide, I never have seen people put their whole heart and soul in this to get this to go. And we're not sure, but we're working hard at it. So I just want to take a moment and thank all of them in District 30 to always ensure we do the very best for our children. So with that being said, what's going on? So today I had a meeting with pre-K, and for those people who live near PS 78, they have decided to keep the trailers one more year as we move forward in the 2021 school year. So that was a good thing. COVID-19, so I must tell you, I got a call just before this meeting from IS 145. They have two children that tested positive for the virus, so they will be closed on Thursday. What will happen now is, tomorrow's a holiday, but Thursday they will then, what we're doing right now is we give test and trace the names of our teachers, the names of our children that have been in particular rooms that the child or the adult was in who has been noted as having the virus. So what happens then is that test and trace speaks to everybody and they make a decision. So this started early this morning, believe it or not. I remember getting up and seeing it on my BlackBerry, but just now before the meeting, I got a call from the principal. They will be closed. So, and then they'll do their test and trace. We'll get the letter. You all send you the letter to what happens to see. So with that being said, there are two websites that someone showed me, and I thought they were very good. I put it as the attachments. They're there. They're public websites. I thought maybe you guys would want to check them out and just give you the information that I've been giving you, hopefully. I want to remind everybody that on November 12th, which is this Thursday, we're having our SLT Title I meeting. Everybody's invited. It starts at 5 o'clock. And there's a Zoom address that'll be on my notes that you can certainly go. We invite all of the community to go. It talks about what Title I means for all of us. Leads right into my next piece here. Collect and return family income inquiry forms for Title I determination. They're the old, what we used to call lunch forms. So this form, we need to get everybody to fill it out, because this generates our money for our schools. This is Title I money. So please pass the word around that everybody should fill out. They now call it the Family Income Inquiry Form for Title I documentation. So that's important. That's due by December 21st. Once again, it'll be in my notes that you'll post. So usually each and every year, October 31st is our deadline in which schools receive their money for per capita per student. So that's the closing of the register. So if I'm a principal today and it's October 31st and I have 1,200 children, that's the money that I receive for 1,200 children. Now, sometimes the year goes on, you lose some, and sometimes you gain some. But that's the money that we do. So this year, because of the virus, they have changed the date to November 13th. So registers will close on November 13th instead of October 31st. As you know, if you don't, let me inform you, the opt-in window is started on November 2nd and it's going till November 15th. So we invite all of our parents who are interested in opting in, meaning they'll be a part of blended learning, which will then begin on November 2nd. So anybody interested, now is the time for our parents to sign up for our Enliven. As you know, if you don't, this will be at this point, the only time that parents will have the opportunity to come back in what we call in-person / blended learning. So the week of November
3rd.
Yes.
I assume you meant December 2nd, right? For the one that will all go into effect?
Week of November 30th and December 7th, students begin in person beginning. December 7th. Okay, did I say the wrong thing? I apologize. Updated testing. Oh, so we have the COVID-19 testing consent form. So all of our schools that are in the yellow zone, which is our Jackson Heights schools, their children will be tested once a week because they're considered in the yellow zone. And IS 145 happens to be one of those schools in Jackson Heights. So for consent forms, you should know that all student consent forms must be reviewed by the family, signed, and returned to the school. No student will be tested without the form. Parents can choose to complete either their child's paper consent form or submit the online version in the New York City school account. They can fill out the form as well. The school's designee should enter the student's response from the paper form into ATS using the new COVID-19 testing student indicators. ATS is our system in which we computerize all of our children. There's a wonderful guide out, the 2021 Family Guide. The guide provides information on what teaching and learning will look like this school year, and universal expectations for how our schools support our students, whether they are attending fully, remote, or blended learning classes. The guide also provides information about who families can contact when they have questions or concerns, and resources that family can use to support learning at home. So I always say start at the school, right? You have any questions or concerns, you start with the teacher, you start with the AP, the principal, start with then me. You know, there's a chain here. We're here to help and to inform. Lots of things are different than what we normally have, but we're doing and making sure we are top of our game. So the Learning Bridges enrollment update. So you know of our schools that are in Learning Bridges, they're still signing up. Any schools that have been associated, and once again, it's on our website, of all the schools that are Learning Bridges. Basically, those are for our children that if parents do opt in to blended remote, they have the opportunity on the days that their children are not in school to go to a CBO, a local CBO, and they can spend the day there. So they get sort of 5 days of childcare. Science at home safety contract. So that's a wonderful thing that's happening. Basically, we are asking our elementary and middle school parents to sign these contracts with our children just to let them know the safety. As we go forward with science, you know, they do different experiments and we want our children to be safe at all times. When we're in school, this is what we do. We teach our children to be safe during science. So we're now involving all you wonderful parents out there to help us to ensure that your children are okay. iPads. So we are all waiting for iPads, and I apologize, but good news is coming. I hear there's 100,000, and I speak to the principals every day. Slowly but surely, we're getting one and two. Each school is getting their iPads, with our most neediest children getting them first. So as they come in, they are packaged with the parent's name on it. We call the parent in, and then we take care of that as well. Sometimes our iPads are broken. Please, we ask our children not to give up. Everybody never give up. Bring them to the school, call the school, make an appointment, get into the school, and we will help you, you know, fix it. We'll send it downtown. Whatever we need to do, we'll help you set it up. Because that's our next piece. We've got to get devices into everybody's hands. That's the most important thing we need to do. Trauma-informed care resources for parent coordinators. We are equipping with our parents with many workshops, our parent coordinators, so they can work with our parents too. we realize there's a lot of trauma. And we know we, as a school, we want to be a part of the support. So our parent coordinators are brushing up on all these workshops, and we'll be offering them to you. School quality reports are out. So they're embargoed. So school quality reports are the sort of the surveys and all the different evaluation pieces for a school. So they are out. What does that mean? They're embargoed. That means they're not open to the general public, but our school leadership teams have the opportunity now to look at these school quality reports and to ensure that they're correct. Lots of times we find mistakes in them. So what right now, hopefully our schools, our principals and school leadership teams are reviewing these reports to ensure that they're correct. And then at that point, the state will mandate that we then will then send them out, you know, for everybody to read. So that's where we're informed, that's where we're at now.
How long does the embargo last? When will they be?
Usually another couple of weeks. They don't give us an exact date. They give the school about 2 to 3 weeks. Medicare's consent to enter data for kindergartners. In order to ensure that the DOE received federal reimbursement for services, schools must distribute and collect Medicaid reimbursement parent consent forms from families of all students with IEPs who have not already provided their consent. Schools need only to collect the form once a family consent remains active throughout the child's enrollment. That's just to ensure we provide speech, physical therapy, occupational therapy, hearing services, and then we get some of our funds back. And finally, some guidance for the outdoor learning. Children benefit from rigorous exercise and should be given the opportunity to play outside whenever possible while maintaining social distancing. Unless it is snowing or there is ice on the playground or the wind chill factor produces an effective temperature below zero, temperatures alone should not be a barrier for children to play outdoors, but we do not let them to go out if it's zero or below. So basically we ask our children to dress warmly when they come to school, and we let them go out for lunch for some fresh air. Finally, I want to wish all of you a very happy Thanksgiving. And I am thankful for all of the staff of District 30. I'm thankful for all of our parents and caregivers who are working together to get through this, to do the very best we can. So I thank you all.
Thank you, Dr. C.
Thank you, Dr. Composta. We're going to open many of our council has questions. I just had a quick one. How are schools or principals expected to push for the family income inquiry forms? Because it's so important to schools, we don't want any to fall through the cracks. Is there going to be any procedure for getting in touch with parents who may not check their remind or check emails or whatnot?
Absolutely. I just spoke to the principals today and reminded them the same thing. Yes, we try to email them. We call them, our school aides. Most schools follow this right to the bitter end because it is important that we get that money. It is very important. That Title I money makes a big difference in a school. Thank you for saying that.
Thank you, Doctor. All right, council members, the floor is yours.
I've got a few.
Sure, go ahead, Nuala.
All right, first of all, big shout out to PS398. We saw the little kids out there on the street during class. It was great to see them outside, especially since it's been so nice and warm outside.
Yes.
And I would encourage the other schools to utilize that open street in front of their school. So 398, IS-230, IS-149, 212, and 149 all have that space, and I really just encourage them to use it. They're going to have it for the rest of the school year.
As I have done before, yes.
A couple of concerning things. I've just noticed that we've now... although we've been in the yellow zone here in Jackson Heights for a while, we really haven't seen COVID cases until the last week. You just told us about the one at 145. We had 148.
149.
Yep. So my concern is just what is the best thing to tell, in your opinion, the community about these things? I mean, I know 145 is a big school. But once you see two cases, are those related? Are they unrelated? Why are we, we're, what can you tell us about it?
So basically, I don't know if they're related or unrelated. We can find that out. I guess I don't know if I can tell you because all these HIPAA laws, you have to be careful. But what I would say to the community is to follow the rules. Wear your mask, wash your hands, stay social distancing. If you don't feel good, stay at home. As you do know, Jackson Heights is a very crowded, congested area. But 145 is our first school in Jackson Heights. We've had other schools close, 126 close on the other sides. We have had the virus throughout the district. I don't want you to think that it's only in Jackson Heights. And sort of interesting, as you said, you guys are in the yellow zone. But basically, 145 just got the call today. And the Situation Room makes the decision. And it's probably always a good decision because 145 has 1,600 children. So that, you know, it's crowded. Now, of course, they're not all in the building at the same time. We have social distancing. And one third of those get to fit into the building. So at a time each day. So we have an ABC there. But so those are the things that I say. To follow all the rules and regulations, we're going to be okay.
Right. But 145 is now AB.
AB. And I must tell everybody, we are going to change that again. When we finally finish this on the 15th, we are going to probably, many schools are going to change their program. So we have to be ready and prepared for that. And the good news is, if we follow through, that will be the last time that we have to do this.
Okay. Another question just about the trailers. I know in Long Island City that the parents have asked to keep the trailers, which is fine. But as you know, the city for years has been trying to get rid of them. Is there any pushback from the city about keeping the trailers?
No, because we're going to open up that new building, finally opens up next year, and then we'll be okay. Just that right now, it's still a little, like, that's a little crowded, that area too. So they need them one more year. When we open up 384, which is this September coming, we're going to be fine.
All right. So that means that school construction authority is keeping firm on that date?
Last I heard, absolutely. And you were with me when they told us, yes.
Okay. Great news.
Okay. Robert, who else?
Council, any other questions, or else we'll open the floor to our attendees.
I just have the, with the Learning Bridges program, we're still waiting for a question back for like the after school programs for the kids in our area. We're still doing out research for that.
Yes, you know, Shannon, your area just got one. I don't even know if you know the name of it yet, or it's been, I met with one of the community members who said that he was applying for that. Well, as soon as I find out, I'll speak to the Mr. Bober and get it to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It is peculiar about the trailers, though. And it's been like, you know, for so many years, it's been like, you know, anathema. Well, we can't have it. But now you would like a little ventilation here and there every once in a while. So well, maybe it's a good thing. Yes, the world always changes.
Like Nula said, the community there is okay with it. So that's good.
Who knew? Council members, anybody else?
Hey, good evening, everybody. I had a quick question on kind of citywide news. I'm sure people have seen headlines about, you know, de Blasio is warning that he may shut down the schools again if the positive rate hits 3%, or we're inching closer to that. Dr. Capasso, could you tell us what that would look like in terms of communication? How would that message get to parents? Would it just be, you know, class dojo or an email one night saying, hey, don't show up tomorrow? Or how would we receive that notice?
Yes. No, I don't know. Listen, we will always do the best to give you all kind of notification because, you know, whether it's Class Dojo, we'll email you. We have these phone blasts that go out. We'll do an email blast. We do some snail mail when we have the money. So whatever we can, we're going to do for you to make sure that the parents know. But sometimes, as you, we hear it on the TV and the radio too. So with that being said, I do want to reassure people, sort of a good thing what we've been working on for the last couple of weeks is digital curriculum. We are ensuring that each and every subject, we have a digital curriculum as we then, if we have to turn to fully remote, we are preparing. That's what we are preparing for. As we are talking right now, we had a principal's meeting this morning and it was all about digital curriculum. So that's our piece. As far as notification, we will do everything and anything we can to keep you informed. Because I always do believe when you communicate, it's the best way to everybody to understand what we need to do working together.
Yeah, and I think there's been enough notice. And I remember in the summer, there was a big concern, like, you know, is there going to be another shoe to drop? Will we all be going to remote? So I'm glad we're doing it, but I hope it's not we're just doing it now. I hope we've been kind of having that in the back of our mind, the possibility that we'd all be jumping into remote at some time, because all of our students, all of a sudden, worst comes to worst, if they have to go online to study, everyone has to be acclimated again. And we know we had that little speed bump learning curve that we had in, you know, September that we're still kind of in. You know, I hope, I'm not talking about our district, I just hope the DOE at large is contemplating this reality should it come in, because we can't say, oh, guess what happened, poor us. We should have already been on the ball with this months ago. So I hope this doesn't just come as a shock to anybody, should it come down the back.
And you're right, we forward think in District 30. That's what we say all the time. What's going to happen next? Let's get ready for it.
Can you say a little bit more about what the digital curriculum is? Because most of the kids are fully remote already. I think a majority of the district is fully remote. So those kids, it's around 50%.
Yeah, okay. It's 50-50. So, I remember it was 51-49 the last time I looked.
So those kids, we already have a fully remote curriculum in place. So what is it that they're planning that's different from?
Nothing. Actually, we're just making sure that we've tightened up all the buttons. So our curriculum is all what they call core curriculum. They're aligned to the standards, to the next generation standards. They're aligned. So that's what we're working with. And in addition, they are they meet all the regulations of the Department of Ed. So they're good stuff. So what they actually do is, as you said, we have already purchased it, the remote piece. So it's just, as sort of Robert brought back, we have to all now get into it, because the people that are remote are fairly much into the groove already. Just the rest of us who have been in person, blended, now have to switch over.
Thank you. We're going to go to our calls now, Council. If you want to chime in on any other topic, you're welcome to jump back in. But we're going to go to our hand raise. We have a Robin Forst. Robin Forst, if you're here, please unmute. Say what school your kids are going to and what your question is.
Hi, how are you? How are you, Dr. Composto and Gail?
Hi.
Ford, how are you? I work for Councilmember Drom, as many of you know. My question is really about the devices and the status of the devices. It's, you know, months and months that we've been hearing about inadequate numbers. And you had mentioned that, you know, you're working a few a day. But what percentage of the students in need of devices don't have them?
Very fair question. And actually, I asked to put that in today. I have not heard back from our data people yet. But I do know, like in talking to principals, maybe 50, 60 children in several schools. So there, I would say several hundred, but I don't want to be quoted because I don't know. I did ask the question. As soon as I know, I will certainly share it with everybody. But even one device is not good. We've got to get a device in every
school. Is there anything that we can do from our office? Terrible to think of these children working at home or attempting to study at home without the devices. So,
and you know what else our big piece is? People, connectivity. We need to connect our children. Awesome. They don't have equipment and they're not connected. We need help. I think certainly it starts with our politicians. How can we help? We need to have we need, each child needs to get it. Is 100,000 devices enough? When are we getting those 100,000 devices and that connectivity piece? So if you guys can help us do that, that would be wonderful.
I think we would be happy to. Gail, if there's some, you know, follow-up you can send me in terms of numbers and scope and so forth, I'm sure that we would like to push that. I thought that a number of the devices were supposed to have built-in hotspots. Is that not the case?
That is true. But that's sorted later on. So yes, that's what we need. Exactly what we need for all those children that had the other devices. We just need to exchange them with them. But I love it. You know what? I'm writing this down. You're going to get that maybe tomorrow morning.
That would be great. And I'll tell the councilman because, you know, he, as the former head of the education committee, he takes this very seriously. And it's really a shame, you know, under the conditions that these children are operating under, that they don't have what they need. So happy to help if we can. So thank you very much.
Best conversation I had today. Yes, no, we do need that. And that's, thank you.
So Dr. Capasso, if I could just chime in.
Yes.
I wanted to give an example of a neighbor of mine. She has three kids and the board has been great. They've given them all devices. So all three of those devices are running three different hotspots, which works. She's happy, but it's so inefficient. If we could just have given that household internet connection, then she could have three regular devices and not need three separate hotspots running at a great expense. So I don't know if anyone in the Board of Education is even considering this, but
I think it's wonderful. You put that in an email and send it to me. I'll send it to the right people. I'll send it to the right people and hopefully it'll make a difference. Thank you for that.
And then related, a shout out to IS-145. I've actually seen them out there on Saturdays trying to hand out the computers to families, Chromebooks, to families who had registered for them. So they actually clearly have enough devices and are trying to get them in the hands of the families. So much that they were out there on a Saturday morning trying to connect with families.
Yes, thank you for saying that. That was wonderful of them. Great school.
Thank you, Ms. Forrest, and thank you, Nula. We had Cedar Sletten. If you could unmute your next in the hand raise, if you could unmute yourself and introduce yourself. Cedar looks like he's now bumped to the end. If we could go to Ms. Ann Wine.
Hello, I'm Ann Wine. I am a teacher in the district, but I'm on the call tonight because I'm also a parent of an eighth grader at Hunters Point Middle School. And I know we probably don't have an answer to this, but I'm going to ask anyway, do we have any idea where the DOE is at this point on the high school admission or the middle school admissions process?
Thank you for asking. Great question. And our presidents have asked me that too. So I just yesterday was on the phone with the Office of Student Enrollment and they promised me within another week, we should hear from them. That's what they're saying. Yes, I did ask, you're right. We need to know that. We are behind.
And I would just like to share some advice if there are any parents out here that have current seventh graders. I'm so thankful that last year a parent shared advice with me. She said, don't wait until your kid's in the eighth grade if you can start this process in the seventh grade. So last year when there were real open houses, I schlepped my kid around all over Queens and we looked at six different high schools, even though he was only in seventh grade. A lot of that information is online. So if you're a parent of a seventh grader, I highly recommend taking advantage of being able to at least see those schools online, and then you won't feel behind the eight ball next year.
Yes, I agree that seventh grade is such an important year. You know, I was a middle school principal, IS-204 for 12 years, and every year I would say to the seventh grade, this is the most important year for you, because that's high schools look at those seventh grades to help with the admissions piece. So thank you, Ann. That was good advice for everybody. This is the time as seventh graders to figure this out. But I also add one piece to that, distance. As a middle school principal, many kids came back and they said the high school was too far. They got high schools that were in Manhattan. I always advise, and I have four of my own, did the same thing, got on a train or the bus, or the train and the bus, to go to the school just to see how it feels. Because if you have an 8 o'clock class, you have to start to think about that. Are you getting up at 6:05 to get to this class? Because they do not change high school so quickly. They do not. So they make you stay at least 6 months to a year. So just good advice, Ann. Thank you very much. Good.
Thank you, Ms. Wine. Kathleen Essay, if you can unmute yourself and say what school your child attends. Kathleen Essay. We'll keep your hand up. Is Ms. Danielle Lopresti Lee available? Please unmute yourself and state what school your child attends.
Yes, hi. This is Danielle Lopresti Lee. I have a second grader at PS34. This is regarding the opt-in periods. I guess it's a statement and sort of a question. I know myself, I was relying on these opt-in periods for myself, given that these were given out to us by the chancellor in August. I did a lot of family planning, relying on that. I don't even live in New York City right now. I'm actually in another state in New Jersey, staying with my mother, who has an underlying health concern that if, God forbid, she were to get COVID, I would be the one to take care of her. So I am with her. So hearing those, that news from the chancellor, you know, shattered me. So I just, you know, I feel like it was a very unfair call from the chancellor. And I would really, you know, hope to encourage him to reconsider at least one more opt-in period, possibly after the winter. Yeah, that's basically what I have to say. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you for saying that. And our CEC is on top of that already. They're talking about a resolution also going to the chancellor saying the same thing that you're saying. Parents across the city feel that way. I hear that. So we'll see what happens. Maybe things will change.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for asking the question.
Yeah, I think to see our board members, you know, we took a little bit of a temperature earlier today and, you know, we're all, It was shocking to everybody because, you know, everyone had an understanding, everyone, you know, planning their lives around certain structure. Just for it to be pulled out from underneath us, you know, it's a little bit unsettling for everyone. But we understand that as our CEC here. And we're going to start the process of perhaps drafting a resolution for it so that we could have our voices and our concerns voiced.
Great, thanks.
One moment. We were just talking about the high school admissions. Ms. Cohen, Gales would like to share her screen for a moment. There's a flyer that you'd like to share for everybody, it's for Ms. Wine and anyone else that may have high school kids. There is a presentation on high school and specialized high school admissions processes. It is on a Zoom meeting, shock of shocks. There's for Manhattan, Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens. If anybody wants to take a quick screenshot of it so you have the information, it's coming up in the next few weeks. All over the city, it appears. Ours in Queens will be on December 3rd and on December 7th. District 30 will be December 3rd at 5:45 p.m. Very good information there, Gail. If anyone likes that information directly, just place it in the chat and we'll communicate the information to you directly. So you can share it with him. Maybe you have some friends or other colleagues that you may want to share the information with. But thank you very much, Gail. And thank you, Ms. Wine, again. Kathleen Essay, are you with us? If you are, please unmute your telephone and state which school your child attends.
I'm having a hard time unmuting her. I have to unmute her.
Oh, okay. Should we try Christine Sletten then? Christy Sletten? Okay, Christy Sletten, you're unmuted.
Hi, thank you so much. Yeah, sorry, I couldn't figure out how to unmute myself. Thank you very much. I am a parent also of a student at 384. She's in kindergarten. And I have one quick point to make and then also another question for Dr. Composto about the pre-K situation. First of all, the point I wanted to make is that we received our first notification of a student in the pre-K center that shares the building with 384. A person, I don't know that it was a student, testing positive for COVID. I believe it was either last weekend or the weekend before. It's hard to tell, all the things are blurring together. But I received an email from something calling itself the DOE Situation Room at like 9:30 on a Sunday night. And it was a little bit alarming. The information itself was somewhat convoluted and it was a bit hard to tell what exactly they were trying to tell us was going on. And of course it being, you know, so late on a weekend, Principal Britton hadn't had the chance to get out in front ahead of it. And she did immediately the next morning and being the great communicator that she is, it, you know, became very clear right away what was going on. But if you have a chance to feed that back up to the DOE at all, I think, you know, they could pare down those emails a little bit and try to at least give shorter and sharper information to parents so that, you know, it's not the beginning of the week and we're kind of freaking out wondering if our kids are going to school the next day. So that was just one quick point I wanted to share. And then second,
and a fair point.
Yeah, thank you.
They're getting better. Let me tell you, each day we're advising them and they're getting better. They are getting better.
And I know everyone's doing their best, but you know, nobody's ever been in this situation before. So that's just some feedback. And then secondly, back to your point about the TCUs. So when the new 384 building opens and the pre-K rooms open that will replace the TCUs, does that mean that the Jackson Center will then fully reopen as a pre-K center, as part of the pre-K centers?
Yes, at this point, yes.
Okay, all right, great, thank you.
Thank you. Kathleen, as they actually put in the chat, but if Gail, if you could try to see if we get a chance with Kathleen again to unmute her. Are you there, Kathleen?
The only way for me to unmute her is going, I have to promote her to panelist.
Well, I think she actually put her question in the chat, so I'll read it out loud and hopefully that'll help everyone. So her message is, sorry, I didn't see anything to unmute. My question is, after this opt-in period, do we know how many schools in District 30 are looking to move to an A-B schedule? And is there something we can do as a district to move all our schools to an A-B schedule? My children are students at PS 150.
So good question, fair question, and I agree. So this is the same thing I said to our principals today. We have to first wait until November 15th and we finally figure out how many children are coming back. But I said to the principals, we're gonna reopen all programming. I'm hoping some schools can bring children back 5 days a week. You know, we have some small schools, maybe they could bring back five. That would be great for it. Parents, children, teachers, everybody involved will be happy. So yes, we will, after November 15th, every school will be looking at that to reduce their schedule or make it better for our children, absolutely.
Many thanks, Dr. Capasso. And thank you, Ms. Essay, for your good question. I don't see any other questions with hands up at least. Ms. Essay's, I think, was answered. We're going to now go to the phones. Gail, are you in a position to ask if any of our dialed in numbers can have any questions?
Yes, the first one, last four digits, 2146. 2146, if you would like to speak or ask a question, please unmute yourself and just say yes or no.
I guess not. We could try the next one.
Right, next one is 2877.
Wait, the interpreter, is she asking for, is that HUS 2146?
We'll ask that next.
No, we'll ask them. Yeah, they come next, Dr. Composto. Okay. So 2877. 2877, would you like to say anything?
Okay, maybe not. Okay, our interpreters, would you be kind enough to ask any of your liaisons whether they have any questions for us?
Yes, just a second. I'll ask right now. Thank you
very much.
Okay, I have asked twice and I am not getting a response from anyone.
Okay, well, thank you, Marina.
You're very welcome.
So, Councilor, if you have any questions or else we're going to go to the going once, twice, thrice.
Yeah, hi, everyone.
Fatima.
Dr. Camposo, I believe like we heard like before when schools go back to like A and B cohort schedule, and some of schools already like give more chance and opportunity for IEP students to get like full week or more days blended. Is this going to be the case when like LARF schools go to AB schedule, or it depends on each school?
It'll depend on each school, but our intent is to bring as many children back as possible. We were able to do the special needs and the L kids because they're in small classes, you know, so we're able to bring more of the special ed kids back in because the classrooms of 12. And so if 9 wanted to come back, it would work out perfect with the entire class was there. And it's better for their learning in person as it is for all children. I get that. So we're hoping to get more children back. That's our intent. But it all depends on each school individually how many children are opting back in.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
To follow up on that, actually, something that came out when I was reading through the questions that were submitted to us for the Chancellor's Town Hall, and thank you, Rob and Deb, who is not here, for passing them along to us, was that there were a number of parents just diving, you know, sort of more deeply into those questions. There were a number of parents who were very frustrated because they had young children. You know, they had kindergartners, they had first graders. And of course, the remote learning is very difficult for those kids especially. And I wonder, I know this is not the plan that the DOE had, you know, it's not an option that the DOE is giving us, but I wonder if there's any way that elementary schools could give more in-person time to the youngest learners, the pre-K, the kindergartners, the first graders, just because it is so difficult and in fact, maybe not even healthy for them to be on screens as, you know, as much as they are remotely.
That's a very good and fair question. We have a pre-K, we have a grandson who lives over here who also attends school, and it is hard for him on the computer. It's hard for anybody, but you know, for our pre-Ks and Ks and ones, like this is school they're just learning about. So at this point, we don't know where we are, right? We got to figure out all, we might go remote. You all heard that the mayor said, and I heard that too on the 1010, that we might, as you know, if this continues, we're all going to go totally remote. But our intent is always to bring children in. But when you do that, I always say, bring it back to your school leadership team. Because then, you know, somebody else who's a parent in that building who we're affecting our children, that I'm making a decision. That's why it's important for each school to make their own decision. Because there might be a fifth grade parent who says, why don't you bring the fifth grade back? Because this is their last year. Everybody has a reason, but I don't think it's a bad request. And I agree, the little ones will do better in person because it's hard for them. But all children will do better once we all get back 100%. But I'm not opposed to that. Like I said, school leadership teams can bring that up. And if that's what the school decides, I support that.
Thanks. It looks like we're going to have to look for that a copy of that flyer. We weren't able to find a link, but if we can, check our DOE, our website, or our CEC website, we'll probably have it posted soon. Okay, and if you want it, just put your email in the chat also, and we'll be able to forward it to you directly.
Yeah, I'll be sending it out on Thursday.
Oh, great, thank you. Any other questions for Dr. Capasto? Okay, then we will have a motion to adjourn. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Many thanks, Katrina. Seconded by, I believe it was Fatima.
Amina. Right,
Amina. Thank you, Amina. It is now 7:20 p.m. We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Do we want to take a couple of minutes before we go into our business meeting? 5 minutes sounds good?
Okay.
Okay, a 5 minute break, 7:21. We will be back at 7:26.
Thank you.
Thank you everybody for attending and for joining us here today. have a great Thanksgiving for everyone, and we'll see you in December.
Thank you.
If anybody's still interested, I just put the gist of the high school dates for the webinar in the chat. It's not formally the link, but if anybody needs information, it's there now. As far as dates, times, password, and whatnot.
Hi, Deb.
Hi. You guys were too fast for me.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi. Sorry, everyone. I had class till just now. This day will never end. I don't know if anyone sees, we have a Q&A in the Q&A, or a question in the Q&A. Looks like she would like a copy of the flyer, if my Spanish is serving me. I don't know what flyer she's referring to.
She's talking about the high school informational flyer about the meetings. And I will send it out on Thursday. And I have everybody's email, so I will send it out.
Deborah.
Hi, Doc. How are you? You went fast.
Yes.
Hi.
This could have gone the old-fashioned route. https://us. We'll send the link out to everybody. Welcome, Deb.
Hey, Rob.
We have Glass and Crace re-entered into our humble meeting here. I think we just have a couple of minute break, a 5 minute break. It should be coming to a conclusion now. Yeah, do you know whether we would need our interpreter still?
Oh, I think we still have one person
have one.
On the line.
We're a little over 5 minutes. Is everybody, are you there, Scott, Amina? Thank you,
Scott. I'm here.
Yes.
Jonathan, Fatima, no, yes, I don't see Jonathan at all.
I'm here.
So maybe we could jump in. Oh, there's Jonathan, sorry, I didn't see you. All right then, shall we begin? Okay. And we still have the one person for the interpretation, right?
Thank you.
Okay, it is now 7:28 p.m. We will call the business meeting to order. Shannon, it is now 7:29 p.m. Shannon, if you would do the honors.
Ms. Deborah Alexander.
Present, hi everyone.
Hello, good evening. Mr. Robert Cruz, Roberto Cruz.
Present, present.
Thank you. Mr. Jonathan Greenberg.
Present. Present.
Ms. Katrina Harris.
Present.
Ms. Fatima.
Present.
Shannon, present. Ms. Amina.
Present.
Ms. Danny Marr.
Present.
Ms. Nula Odorchi. Chuck Park.
Present.
And Mr. Scott Sharon, good evening.
Present.
Thank you, Shannon. We'd like to remind everyone that this is a business meeting and we will not be accepting public comments. Motion to dispense with the reading of the minutes for the October 13th, 2020 calendar and business meetings and accept them as presented.
I motion.
Thank you, Katrina. Second. Thank you. Thank you, Deborah. All in favor, show hands. I see.
Me.
Oh, thank you, Amina. Yeah, if you're not, Fatima, positive or negative? Thank you, Scott. Katrina, you're for with the dispensation?
Yes.
Thank you very much. I think we're uniform. Yes. Thank you, Fatima. That's everybody.
Excuse me one moment. It looks like that only the interpreters are now in that room.
Okay, that's everybody then. So we're going to let them go for the day? Okay, thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank right, you thank so you. Much. Thank you.
Thank you again for your service, as always. We'll see you in another month. So we have just a few items on our agenda regarding for new business. First, summer school. Is that Dr. Composta? Is there information on summer school coming
up? No. I did bring it back. I don't know if Nula is out there, but I did bring it back. And when it happens, I'll let you know. Right now, there's so much going on. They're talking about changing schedules. And like we just talked about, going from AB to A, from ABC to AB. So lots of that kind of talk, but not yet summer school.
I guess also like the remedial needs. We talked about it last month. We kind of covered a lot of the technology needs in your report, Dr. Composto. I don't know if there's anything we need to ask Adam to that.
I am surveying as you, it's funny that I started the survey today. I met with the parent coordinators and asked them to get me a list of how many each school, the devices we need. So I will share that with you when I get it. And I'm going to rush it along so we can get it over to Danny Drum. That would be great if somebody helps us do this. You're on mute, Robert.
Oh, wow. Coming down from the mountain there, Dr. Composto. That was probably the highlight, Deb, in that Robin from Danny Drum's office was willing to do what she can to help us to get some of these devices that we're in need of. So I think that was kind of like the star of the of our morning, of our earlier meeting.
Hey, yes.
I guess the third item that this has been coming up since this morning would be the whether we want to do a resolution. For the idea of having another window to enroll our students. We had a little conversation earlier, if you weren't able to join us in the morning, about whether we should have a resolution for that window, whether we should have a resolution for two more windows for our children to opt in to the blended model. And, we had a robust discussion a little bit earlier, at least people were having their opinions. I guess the issue would be whether we would propose authorizing a resolution. And I guess we would have to take a vote on that so that we can actually make a presentation at our next meeting.
Yeah, so at this point, we don't have to vote. I mean, anyone can bring a resolution forward, but I personally would like to hear, we heard from a lot of people already, but I just would like to hear and sort of put on the record how folks are feeling about the concept of the CEC, as other CECs have done, doing a resolution to ask the DOE to honor their word and have more opt-in periods. And I am fairly conflicted on that personally, because I feel like, the DOE needs to honor its word to parents. And at the same time, I see the havoc that that these opt-in periods cause schools. So I'm a little bit torn, particularly if we're talking about multiple periods. I don't know. But I don't feel strongly enough to bypass the will of, I would back whatever the council really wanted to do, but I am personally conflicted about it a little bit. So I would love to hear from anyone who we haven't heard from. Oh, and Danny, you had said you had talked about having gotten feedback from your schools or schools in your area.
Yeah, I had a 384 give me a survey. They had their Ms. Brenn had sent out a survey for all the parents to fill out about the opt-ins all to their remote learners. And they did, and they're all, a lot of them are out of the country. We have some in Taiwan, we have one in Israel, and one, and I said it in the last meeting, it's a problem because they're spending like almost a grand to change their plane tickets and they don't feel like the chancellor has followed through. So even if they rush back, do the quarantine, try to get all this, is he going to change his mind again? And then it goes back to, we have to have him follow through. I think offering another one, like what you said earlier, maybe offering with just one more opt-in that's maybe towards spring or midway, gives them a lot more options versus just demanding this in a month and expecting these parents to come back. And it's also about to be winter, so we have a lot of COVID's going up. We don't have the vaccine, it probably won't be available this year, but it's still, it's just, we're demanding parents come back so quickly without kind of following through on the chancellor's original word. So I'm all for a resolution if we can offer something else as an option.
I will also say that Dr. Composto's numbers that he sent us today are really telling. Now that was only the first week out of two. I would expect that more people will make their choice in the second week as the deadline approaches, but we actually went down in blended enrollment by a little bit. So not only are people not opting back in, but more are opting to full remote. So, you know, it'll be very interesting. I know a lot of around the city, the feeling is like you're suggesting, Danny, people feel betrayed and they feel rushed and they feel like this is not the time to opt back in, to offer that opt-in period. So that I completely understand. This morning I said, if Danny wants to work with me to write a resolution, I'm happy to help if anyone else would like to, that works too.
Yep. I don't mind working on it as long as I have a little help.
You should have received a resolution that District 26 passed from Juliana today.
Yes, right? So if I you saw didn't that. See yeah, it, yeah. Look at it. Okay. That was a good draft on their side.
I haven't looked at it yet, but that we could work from that for sure.
Yeah, I think I feel similarly to Deb. I'm conflicted about it. I'm not really that interested in a resolution that tells the DOE to keep its word for the sake of keeping its word. I want the DOE to do what's best for our kids and what's safest and what makes the schools operate, you know, to the best that they can. And if that means going against their word, then, you know, I think that's worth it. I totally understand all of the frustration that parents feel all around the city. And I think that the communication has not been great from the DOE. And that's partly why. And I don't know, and I'm not saying that having no more opt-in periods is the best thing for, you know, for learning and for safety. There's just so much up in the air, you know, it's so hard to know what the rest of the year is going to be like. And I want the schools to be able to, like Deb said, to be able as best they can to have some stability, and really for teachers to get to know their kids and really develop the best kind of routines that they can. So I feel conflicted as well.
So I think maybe we can come to some, you know, we'll draft something and in a group way so that we can come to some sort of middle ground that the public can comment on and see what they say, but we'll see what we can come up with. My suspicion is, especially if the numbers bear out the way they are, that they're going to offer another opt-in period at some point anyway, because these kids have to come back, particularly if a vaccine comes. But we talked also this morning about demanding clarity on policy going forward with a vaccine. So parents are going to need to know before they take a vaccine, before the vaccine comes out and is available, what the school's policy is on vaccines. Are they going to mandate it? Are they not going to mandate it? Just what is their policy so that we can effectively advocate one way or another? But they can't just spring, you know, the way that they sprung this on everybody and say, well, now everyone has to get a vaccine in 2 weeks if they want to stay in school. You know, they need to think ahead with this because it's coming, which is a good thing. But, you know, they can't wait until March to say you need to be vaccinated by April. You can't just school. We need advance notice. So I don't know if that can go into this resolution or if that should be something separate. Maybe we'll just see as we draft it to see if there's a place for it. I don't know. So to that end, it sounds like I hear no opposition to drafting something and discussing it, putting it up for public comment and our discussion at December's meeting. So Danny and I can work on that. We'll throw it out to everybody and everyone can work on it. In the resolution vein, there are two other resolutions that I would like to propose and then I'm happy to throw a draft on. One of them is regarding support for the administration We are a little bit late in this, but the DOE has lowered the boom on the AAs, and most of the CECs have as well. I think we are late to do so. So I would like to do that. And then the third one that I would like to consider is on the support of, I don't know quite how to say it, but the support of gender preference and gender pronouns and addressing children appropriately. I think that the district should, I'm sure the district has a policy on it, but I'd like us to take a position on that. I know it varies a lot, and we still have, I mean, up until recently, my kids had a girls' line and a boys' line and a girls' table and a boys' table. And I would like to sort of take a stand on saying that things should not be, you know, Dr. Compasso, I know they're not supposed to be, but sometimes they are still, it's still happening. We're still having, can I get some strong boys to come move these boxes? You know, like it's still happening. So I would like to just put something in writing to say that, I don't know the words yet, but it's, someone brought it up and I think it's a good idea for us to support. So I'm gonna draft something like that and then hopefully we can pass it.
So I think the word you're looking for is culturally responsive, sustaining education. And that's what we try to do all the time. You know, we talked a little bit today about the core curriculum, and that's something we make sure that it does. But it's a mindset. It takes a moment to change the mindset of everyone.
And I think that this is unique to gender. I think when we think of CRSD, other things come to mind, and gender gets a little bit lost in that, but it is important. So I'll put something together on that. But
yeah, I think this is very, really important, and I think that there is widespread kind of, I'd say flouting of the DOE's recommendations on transgender and gender treatment. I see it all over the place, and so I think this is a really important issue to bring out and to concentrate on, you know, on its own. It is absolutely a part of CRSE, but I think it's important enough to warrant its own resolution.
So I will work on those in the next month and get them out to everybody to look at. If no one has anything else, I think we should take just a few minutes to talk about our upcoming zoning meeting. This is about to be a big deal in our district. We have a zoning committee meeting next Monday. I don't know if you want to say anything about it, Danny, or Gail, if you can talk about the RSVPs, because we have some really good principals and PTA presidents who have RSVP'd. We're getting a really good response so far from the community. We have PS 111 principal and a parent, a PTA president. I don't know which parent she's bringing. We've got participation from most of the affected schools, I think.
Yeah.
All of the schools except for 204.
That's great.
They're all coming, including their principals, right? They're very involved. They've been confirming.
Really great.
So can we get it up on the website?
Gail, is 126 in or what? 126, you didn't mention them. They're coming? You're on mute too.
Sorry, wasn't on my list, but I can send them an invite.
Yes, because 126, 204, okay, and 291 are our three middle schools. That if we're going to invite one, all three need to be invited for this, absolutely.
Okay, I will send that out first thing Thursday morning.
Perfect. If you need help, let me know.
Okay, I'll copy you on it so you'll see it.
And you heard Jonathan, me, Gail, about the website, right? Putting the Zoom, the meeting information for Monday on the website.
It's up there.
Oh, it's up there. Oh, great.
It should be. You should see it up there.
Okay. I haven't checked in a few days, so yeah.
Well, first you're going to see the Title I, and underneath that is Monday's meeting.
Great.
Okay.
So Jonathan, I have a question for you. I noticed that D30 Equity Now is having a meeting on Zoom. Bringing that up because I got a call from district planning asking me if CEC30 was meeting with a woman from Brooklyn about the PAR process. Apparently some wires got crossed. She thought that we were meeting, and I think it must be that you guys are meeting with someone. I'm just trying to understand what's happening, because I think there's some confusion.
Yeah, no, that we, our meeting is not, was completely independent of the DOE and of district planning. It's just our meeting, and we did invite someone from District 15 from the PAR process there, but was not meant to involve district planning at all.
Yeah, that I told her it might have just been that you were a CEC member and they got their wires crossed or something.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah.
Yeah, I think there was a little confusion. I got your, I had about 6 or 7 parents, Jonathan, text me the zoning meeting you're having tomorrow, just in a little, they're confused thinking it was, we're having a separate one or something, and they are discussing something separate. So,
yeah, no, there's nothing about the CEC on that meeting. It is a totally, it is a D30 Equity Now meeting, and you know, people are welcome to join. I can send out the registration link if anybody's interested. But
that would be great. I wouldn't mind being on there.
Sure.
All right, everything else seems to be just calendar work. The question about interpretation at our meetings, Arabic and Bengali, Gail, is that something that we're going to?
So after the town hall meeting, there we found out that there were 5 people in the Arabic room. There were no people in the Bengali room, and there were no people in the Mandarin room, and I think there were 3 people in the Spanish room. So we're not drawing that many people, but at one point at the last meeting, you mentioned you may want Arabic interpreters. I'm just, tonight there was only 1 person in the Spanish room. So it's very expensive, obviously, to do this. We don't pay for it, for these meetings, for our meetings, the DOE does, but still, I need help getting people to attend in the foreign language rooms, you know, in the Spanish. And if we do decide to do Arabic, we need a way to reach out to these communities. I do have the flyers translated. It is up on our website in Spanish also. I do not know what else to do.
Well, on my lunchtime, like, say I can go out, like, say, you know, I could just hand out flyers, like, if because on lunch, like, I pass through, you know, my community is kind of small. You can run through Corona Jackson Heights within like 12 or 10 blocks, and I could just pass out, you know, it's no thing just passing out flyers or just giving them, like, yeah, we have a meeting, we have concerns, because I'm always talking and asking, if you have any concerns, let us know, just walk up to us and let us know what you need. We're here. If we don't know how we can communicate with anybody, know what's going on.
Well, Shannon, even if you can do an email blast to your friends and the parents in your school, just pushing them or encouraging them, I'm just at a loss as to what else to do at this point. I know the schools are sending it out.
Not all the schools are sending it out. I will say that. But
yeah.
Now, what is the cancellation policy? Like, how late can we cancel if we were to order, let's say, an Arabic interpreter? How late can we cancel without penalty?
I'm not sure if it's 24 or 48 hours. I would have to look for that. So maybe we should require registration, maybe?
That's what I was going to suggest. If we, at least to get an idea, you know, it's not that we, you know, turn anyone away if they hadn't registered, but it would help us get an idea. And certainly we can also make a push. Like, we know what meetings are going to be better attended. And, you know, this one obviously came right after the town hall when we had a lot of people, and it's right for Thanksgiving, and, you know, I didn't have it on the agenda, but I think we can do both. We can push, push to get people, but I'd rather order and cancel than have people come and not have the interpretation. So I think perhaps we can get a good idea with registration. And then if we don't, and we could try it.
Well, okay, should we do Spanish and Arabic?
Go ahead, Fatima.
I personally like share all the time with the Arabic member in the community here, but however, I agree with the idea like not to spend or like a request for interpreter until like we have a large number of community that are in need for the language. However, I'm not sure if you guys agree to have school send survey to let them know that we are willing to do that as long like there is a parent who will attend. And with that survey, we can get like to know like the language that's like parents, they know that we are willing to do the language as long like they not commits, but at least like attend those meetings.
I think a survey sounds like a good idea. Sign up, you know, a registration sounds like a good idea. I will point out that, you know, we have sort of in the big picture, roughly the same number of Spanish-speaking households as English-speaking households, maybe a few more English-speaking households in the district. And then the next languages are far fewer. So I think that in the long run, it's going to be difficult for us to get large groups turning out regularly from Arabic and Bengali speakers. Not that it's not worth trying. I think it'd be wonderful to try, but I think it's gonna take a lot of outreach to get there. You know, with the Bengali community, I can say at 2:30, we're not getting notices for CEC meetings at 2:30. And I don't know about 69 or 152. Those are places with large Bengali populations. But like, if you want to get those people out, you really need to make kind of extra efforts.
I wonder if there's something we could do that would be of extra interest to that community to at least get people out maybe for the first time. I don't know what that would be, but I would love to hear thoughts about that. I have to think about that, maybe look into it and see, because if we can have a special draw, then maybe people are more inclined to come the next time and see what we're doing. I'm going to write that down.
All right. So for a December meeting, I will request Bengali and Arabic with registration required. And if, let's say, 48 hours before we do not have any responses, then I will cancel. Does that sound okay to everybody?
That's a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just make sure when you send it out on the flyer and the website to say that it's a registration this time, so that people know they're not surprised that they have to register.
Yeah, or please register so we can have interpretation or something like that.
And I'll ask them to register by a certain date. I'll try to get that flyer out really fast so we could get it started.
Cool.
Okay.
Any further business, anybody? We have our Title I training, looks like that's also on the 12th tomorrow at 5 p.m. Madam Secretary will have her first zoning committee meeting on Monday the 16th at 6 p.m. and our next meeting December 8th, 2020. Anybody else? We're speeding along here, speeding along.
Oh, December, oh my.
Deb, have you or Rob, has anybody, or Dr. Composto, have you heard if, School Construction Authority and District Planning are coming in December the way that they have been for the past few years? Do we know anything?
Did we invite them?
Well, they usually come, they ask us about presenting the capital plan.
So I think we should definitely approach them. I think we should send them an email because different. Everything is different.
And should I be
emailing or asking you to email principals about their capital project requests? Because this is when we always do it.
Why not? I mean, let's do it, and whatever happens, happens. Let's do it. That's a good thing to do.
But yeah, I think it would be a good idea to ask them what their plan is for that. You know, are you planning on presenting a capital plan in December or January, just so we can get on the radar? I know. Oh, and so district planning is coming to our zoning committee meeting, but we have not yet heard back from our second request from SCA, correct?
Let's send them a reminder.
Yep. Zai said that she would bug them too, and that if they couldn't, I don't know. So everybody, School Construction Authority declined our invitation to come to the zoning committee meeting because it was zoning and they don't have anything to do with zoning. So we explained that this is about a larger issue than just, you know, CEC zoning, that this is about these neighborhoods and we need to know about new buildings as well, which is their department. So please can so you send someone and I mentioned it to district planning so that they would give them a nudge also. And that if she can't, she said she would get whatever information she could.
I can always go over there. I'm like right next door. We always drive our bikes. I'll just stop and ask how everything's going.
I know they don't have much in the way of news. I get it, but you know.
But they are there like seven, I mean, they're there a lot. They're even on the weekends, I see them working in that building. They don't stop.
But what we need to know more of is what their plans are for, what's it called? Not Hunter's Point, but the other part of Long Island City is the Court Square. We need to know about a school for Court Square. We need to know about a middle school. We need to know about parcel C or F or whatever, whichever one is Amtrak. Like, the, you know, we got, and we have to keep it in front of them, so.
Okay, well, that's, we're buttoning it up, I think.
That's it. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Veterans Day tomorrow for all of our veterans here. Veterans of the CEC Wars. So.
Veterans.
Anything else? Any other topics anyone wants to bring up?
No.
No?
Maybe a
record. I missed you all. Yeah, it's pretty good, pretty good. So we'll see you at the zoning meeting on the 16th at the very least.
Let's pretend it's a coincidence that when I'm not there, things move fast.
It came to mind. It's just like whenever it's like maybe people don't want to test me too much, so but it's flying kite when it's here. Well, I'm not gonna jinx it now. I will wish everyone a great evening. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Many thanks, Katrina.
Looks like Amina's second. Everybody have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Stay safe.
Happy
stay
healthy. Thanksgiving, guys.
Warm December.
Be safe for you and your families. Everyone, be safe. Have a good week. Yes. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Thanks, happy Thanksgiving.
Well.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, and thankful for all of you.
Thank you, Dr. Kapasa.
Happy.
Bye, Shannon. Bye, Nuala. I'm going to end the meeting.